Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I am Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
And good to be here. And this week, we are talking about the theory of the young Earth, a religious theory that the Earth is quite young, and it relates to dinosaurs and U.S. Congressman Mark Meadows.
Oh, is he a dinosaur?
It's a crazy one.
Okay, so I'm excited.
And now, because of the modern marvel of soundboards, we can crack beers anytime we want. Yep, so if you hear that, we're either getting real toasty.
Yeah.
Or we're just playing with the new soundboard.
Yeah, yeah.
So hopefully we sound better.
I hope so.
I think we will, and we're excited. Thank you guys for supporting us. If you're not on our Patreon, love to have you join us. We cover lots of really interesting stuff. We have some really interesting guests, and we're going to embark upon some longer multi-part series.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes we cover like kind of more murder mystery type stuff. So It's worth the minuscule amount of money that we borrow from you each week.
Yeah, it's abhorrent. The price that we charge.
Yeah, we charge.
We're really, this soundboard's going to help, but I spent 2 hours trying to edit the pod the other, no, 3 hours.
Yeah,
because it was
working hard.
Literal trash fire of bad audio.
Yeah.
And now it's almost like I'll get paid to do what I like. It's going to be good.
It's great. So we'd love to have you with us. Tell your friends and, buy it for a friend of yours. Buy them a $5 gift.
Yeah, gift them.
That's what I say.
Yeah, gift them. Yeah. We also have a website with merch. We have conspiracybeery.com. You can check it all out there. Mm. Hit us up on Instagram. Hit us up, everybody. We reach out and talk to all our friends and fans.
And on that note, it's great because we've been having some of our favorite local and national comedians on the show. And this week, we are joined by a really good friend of ours, good friend of the pod, a local stand-up comedian here in Raleigh, and one of the hosts of the very funny podcast, Bop or Flop.
Yeah.
Please welcome to the pod, Spencer Bland.
There you go.
Oh, here, hold on.
Yeah, I'm drinking water out of a Miller Lite cup that I stole from a bar.
Nice.
I don't know if I stole it. I mean, I got it for free. But
oh, okay.
What's up?
What's up?
This is tight, man.
Thanks
I think
for being
that
here.
If you steal something, you also get it for free.
That is true.
That is true, yeah. I was thinking about this the other day. I used to be real bad about getting liquor drunk and stealing things from bars.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, but dumb shit like ashtrays and glasses. Oh.
Neon signs.
Yeah, that's
good. No, I stole functional stuff, man. When I lived in New York, like I got the first night that we moved, fully into our apartment, we went like two blocks down. There was I lived in Harlem. There was like the hipster bar, and we went there, and I got just blasted on PBRs, and I think I stole like 17 glasses because it was close enough to our apartment where I could like put stack four and be like, hey, I'm gonna run back to the apartment real quick, and walk out straight armed.
Yeah, I you know, white privilege manifests itself in a lot of forms.
It does.
But sport shoplifting by white dudes is one of the highest.
Dude, you guys
of white privilege.
You guys got to get Jordan here and have him tell you about how he just robbed the, I don't know what the shopping center's called, like on base, because he grew up as a military brat.
The exchange.
How he just robbed that place dude. not just like petty stuff, like, oh, I took a can of cola. It was stealing like MacBook Pros, dude.
Oh, damn. Well, that's all like duty free. He's fine.
That's true.
It costs him nothing.
Yeah, the duty is that they can't track you down for the law.
Yeah.
We found a key to a soda machine. Like you could, you know, like a soda machine had this kind of weird lock.
Dude.
Oh yeah,
and we found that
the skeleton key.
And we drank free sodas for 2 years in Jacksonville,
rules.
Florida. Nice. I mean, we were like the kings. It was like slinging cocaine.
What if that's like the weird butterfly effect thing that totally threw that state off course?
I thought you were going to say something that threw like Justin's life off course.
Well,
he was on track to be a state senator.
Yeah, and, but it's steady.
Yeah, it wasn't that.
He stole a bunch of Mr. Pibb extra.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, there was, you could reach, back in my day, you could reach your hand up a vending machine and reach the bottom rows.
Yeah, it's called a soda prostate check.
Oh.
It was only tabs, though.
You could reach up in a soda machine, too.
Yeah.
You could reach up in a soda machine or a vending machine.
Oh, yeah,
and then they came up with like a little, like,
there was a
arm bar.
Or that door that catches your arm.
There was a vending machine in when we wrestled in high school that injured dudes. We weren't allowed to, like, we were injured and, like, we weren't allowed to not come to practice, even though we couldn't do anything.
Good,
so we just hung out in the weight room, and there was a vending machine in there. And it was old enough that you could steal the stuff on the bottom, but nice. It was all like shitty snacks. Like
that's where they put the nab.
Yeah, it's like Pop-Tarts and Triscuits and shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's part of a joke I have, and it's not fake. It's real. Like it's all. it's like, oh, cool, spearmint. Great.
Yeah, thanks. Like, or it's like that Blackjack gum or clove gum. You're
Thanks. They fucked up one time, and they put like big Texases down there. Those like giant fake cinnamon rolls.
Mm.
And our coach came in, and we were like three of us had like six each, and we're just like, yeah, we're working out definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely lifting these big Texases.
I went to a vending machine. Like, vending machines have gotten too big.
we need to do something about big vending machines.
Like, right. the matrix of letters, and I was like, it's not just through Z now. It's like,
I'm
not here to do math.
You have to know like military code. You're like, I'll take Bravo Foxtrot 65, and it's like, congratulations, here's some baked Cheez-Its.
Dude, I went to the North Carolina Virginia border. Rest area. And grabbed a snack.
Did you go to the Virginia one though?
Yes,
Virginia side.
The North Carolina side sucks.
Yeah. Virginia's for lovers.
Yes. Yeah, so I condoms. Condoms. I go in there. I only have a 10.
Yeah,
and I put that in the vending machine. It took all my money.
It didn't shit out a bunch $10? Of quarters.
No, didn't do shit. So and there's no one to talk to. What they have is a sign that says, "If you lose your money, write your name on this slip." And put it in a box that was literally 7 feet high. I'm tiny. I'm a tiny man. I was on my tiptoes. And then on the Spider-Man. Box, it says, these vending machines are run by the School of the Blind. I'm like, they're never going to see my notes. They're
going to read my tips.
Sons of bitches.
So you just got, you got $10
claim this
snacks.
On your taxes.
Yeah, I got no money back. They never saw my note.
God. It sucks, too, because like, if you're getting food in a rest stop vending machine, you're pretty hungry. Because that's like a last resort. And those snacks are so fucking old, dude.
Yeah.
I was like driving to Maine last year to see a friend, and I stopped at like a Massachusetts rest stop. Mm-hmm. And I got like, you know, they have those big Kit Kats that are just like, what if it was one Kit Kat, but honey, we exploded ourselves into a Kit Kat.
Right.
And I was so stoked because I love Kit Kats. And I was like, oh, you just made it bigger. Yeah. That sounds great. And it was like chalky and old, and it was like two.
That was definitely invented by the Kit Kat employees who were like, "You get one free Kit Kat a day," and they're like, "Oh, really?
I'll take the big. I'll take the gold brick size Kit Kat."
Yeah, you're like, okay, Well, I don't know how we got off on this, but that's the fun part about this pod. Yeah. We do have a pretty interesting topic today.
Yeah,
okay.
That I think doesn't really fit well into the topic du jour right now. But we're gonna. I'm basically what I'm saying is I have no segue. Okay. Usually I can
Shane,
segue.
Hit a button on the board.
Let me crack another beer.
Yeah.
All right, there it is. Right. I'm actually about to crack another beer.
Nice. Hell yeah.
I thought that we would talk about something that I heard about recently, and I thought it was a great story that ties into a very interesting conspiracy theory, although it's a religious conspiracy theory.
Oh, okay.
My favorite.
Yeah.
And it involves the religious theory called creationism.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys you're familiar?
I grew up like
in this world.
As far as you're concerned, yes. I grew up in like every single sect of Christianity, like Baptist, Methodist. Yeah. I don't know if Unitarian's Christian, but charismatic, non-denominational.
Perfect. And this was coincidental that. This was the topic.
Oh, dude, I went to an Anglican high school, which is just diet Catholic. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Any snake handling? Any Pentecostals?
No, I did go to, so this would have been like late middle school, eighth grade. I went to a river revival.
Oh,
No snakes there?
No snakes, but it was
probably
here.
Snakes
it is. This was sold to us. Sold to us as something really cool. My friend's dad was like, "Boys, we're gonna go. We're gonna get the sins cleansed from you. You're gonna run through that river, and the healing waters of Jesus Christ are gonna wash over you, and all sins, aka all your little peen tugging you've been doing, is gonna be washed clean." And my friend and I were like, "Okay, cool. Like whatever. That sounds fun." And we get there, thinking we're going to a river. We're at a tent in a parking lot of what is going to be a Dick's Sporting Goods.
Ah, yes.
And they have a fucking slip and slide down the middle of the tent.
Oh, no way.
And no padding under it.
So, typical Christian bait and switch.
And the guy's like up there like, run through the waters, feel the fire of God. And it's like, I mean,
it was fun.
It was like they bought this from it was like the Fraggle Rock slip and slide too. Yeah. It had like things at the end like squirreling around.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow.
And we went through it and we were like, dude, that's fun. Let's do it again. Yeah. We got baptized like 17 times.
I just masturbated. Can I get baptized?
Yeah.
It was fun. But yeah, I went to a bunch of weird shit like that, man.
Well, this is great. And Shay, I don't know how much of this is, and for the audience too, you know, I did grow up in a religious family, and it's been a period of my younger, you know, adolescence and into my 20s, kind of drinking the Kool-Aid, so to speak. So this stuff's familiar to me, but if it's not, just okay.
Kool-Aid's what they give kids at communion. So.
Oh, yeah, it's the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Icy grape-flavored Christ, dude.
Yeah. Generally, creationism is the religious explanation for the creation of the earth, essentially, or really not the earth, but the universe. And in its simplistic form, it just means that the earth was created by a purposeful God.
Sure.
And he created it through some methodology and structure and engineering. And it wasn't just sort of happenstance, two particles colliding in a Hadron Collider in Switzerland.
The book of Genesis for Christians.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And for many years, Christians have sort of creationist, at least I should say, because not all Christians are creationists. Most creationists are Christian.
Yeah. But real quick, do you want to hear the most insane creation story? I'll do it quickly.
Sure.
You mean from like another religion?
Does it involve Xenu?
No, I don't know exactly. We studied this in our high school, which one thing was really cool is they were like, let's study other religions too and talk about how they're wrong. We studied all the creation stories. The only one I remember is the Egyptian creation story because it starts with a god jacking off onto dirt, and that's how humans were made. Just blows a load
Sounds
on dirt.
Believable.
Then that's where humans came from.
Yeah. It does explain why there's all these random kids running around in my backyard. Yeah. That's what I do.
Dude just 64 roped on some sand.
The creationists for many years have been aligned against sort of science, at least aspects of science.
Religious people, not. They've always been super into science, man.
Well, they have at times, and some very, very scientific people are also very religious.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just remember one of the famous stadium pastors growing up in high school. I can't remember the dude's name. But his big thing is he's like, dude, I love God and I also love science. Let's look at pictures of space. And he would he had this whole two-hour pastor sermon thing. And the end was he zoomed in on this galaxy far, far away. It was not Star Wars. It was, and then he zoomed in on another planet. And then he zoomed in on a cluster of stars. And it was a shape of the cross. Oh, and he's like, how can you tell me that God doesn't exist when 18 billion light years away, there's a random cross. Jesus is up there in space and he's in your hearts. And
I'll tell you what, if it was on a planet though, if you zoomed into Mars,
like Mars Guy,
Jesus on a cross.
Have you guys covered Mars Guy?
On Mars.
Faces on Mars.
Yeah. If you zoomed in on Mars, and it's just Mars Guy on a cross.
So you guys may remember the Snopes trial, which was the famous trial about where evolution and Darwinism were put on trial by a Tennessee school board for teaching it.
Oh,
very famous.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that where that website gets its name?
Snopes?
Maybe. It's got to, right?
Yeah, probably.
Hmm.
We'll get the fact checker to check that.
So they, let's see, evolution, you get the whole point. Now, there's one branch of creationism that is its own sub-branch of creationism that takes it to a very, very specific viewpoint, which is what's called the young earth creationist. Mm.
Creation with a Q.
Yeah. Yes. And this conspiracy theory, or truth as they call it, essentially interprets the creation story of Genesis in a literal way. The entire planet was created in 6 days. Now, at the Snopes trial, the Clarence Darrow, the lawyer who was arguing
Darrow? I think that was his name. Sounds like some dude in a Hallmark spinoff of To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, it very much does.
Clarence Darrow
to murder a sparrow.
Well, Lord, my next witness, Your Honor.
Oh no, we've got Do Badly
Science. they believe that the Earth was created in 6 days. Again, Clarence Darrow said famously that got the opposing counsel to admit that if the Earth and Sun and Moon weren't created until the third or fourth day,
Everyone's just vibing.
What is
the
first? Yeah. What is the first couple day? How do you define a day without that? What does that mean? That doesn't matter.
Okay.
Quit thinking, Shane.
Sorry.
Literally,
I didn't say anything because I was thinking.
God created the
rational
world
thought, not
in
big with
six
these people.
Days. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Not only that.
Okay.
Scientists tell us that the Earth is 4.5 billion years old.
Right.
Boy, are they wrong.
Well, I love how not close these two numbers are.
Well, like the thing is, like,
it really is.
It's like not even remotely close.
God probably goes by a different calendar.
Yeah.
Well,
he's like, well, what is 4 billion?
He goes
years?
By, the, he goes what, by the Octavian
what about,
calendar.
What about people that like carbon date the Earth and things? Let's say the Earth is like.
Listen, they were put here by devil to tempt us. To
that
not,
is one of the going theories, is that everything that confuses you about this is.
Oh, yeah.
Devil's a scapegoat for everything. It's awesome. Right. Honestly, I wish I had that much of a scapegoat for me being a piece of shit.
Right.
We talked about this recent episode. A guy tried to sue Satan.
He did. It didn't go well.
Didn't go well.
I had a middle school as in Bible study, and like the dude leading it was like, all right, y'all, like go off into your little pods, your prayer pods, and think about who we really should pray for, like who really, really needs it. And like we came back and people were like, oh, like Saddam Hussein, you know, like maybe Jesus can change his heart and like, you know, he'll save the people of Iraq. And
did you guys say Satan?
Yeah, dude. I was like, yo, let's pray for Satan. I was like, let's pray for Satan.
It's a great thought, man.
The guy was just like, nah, he's one soul that can't be saved. And I was like, but you've been talking about everyone can be saved. I was like, he is technically a fallen angel, right? Pick it back up. Let's
now that he can't be saved, he just doesn't want to be saved.
Well, they believe that Adam and Eve, I don't know if you're familiar with those cats.
Yeah, yeah.
The OGs.
I love that story, yeah.
They are the single source of all ancestry of every human.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, doesn't make a lot of sense.
Then where did people of color come from?
Adam and Eve.
Back that up. Where did white people come from?
Yeah, white people.
If we're talking about, like, the Fertile Crescent, where Adam and Eve technically were, they were probably brown.
Well, like, but also, like, if you know the Genesis story, Adam and Eve have a couple boys.
Yeah.
Cain and Abel. Mm-hmm.
Kevin and Kyle.
Kevin kills Kyle.
Yeah.
And they're like, you son of a, you get out of here.
Yeah. You go on, get.
And then Cain leaves and he goes and marries. And you're like, well, where did they come from?
Yeah, who are these random
who are
ass
these
people?
Where did Cain marry?
What's up? This is my wife. She is a goat.
So they believe prior to Adam and Eve, because again, they take a very literal reading.
It's funny, these people crack me up though, because it's like they're like so staunch and they're like, the Bible should be interpreted as the word is, but only this book.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
You're like, cool, so you don't want to wear clothes and then it dies on them, and also like you think that you know, if something comes up, like your daughter should rape you and make a baby with you, and they're like, "Well, hold on now,
and we you don't eat shrimp, right?"
Yeah, and then you get, and then you get
they're
into
telling
it.
You this over a shrimp boil. I read the Bible,
man. I do not believe in this.
And then you're like,
"Come to church, shrimp boil."
Yeah, you're like, "Okay, well, do you want to look at like the actual like Aramaic like translation?" And they're like, "What did you just call me, sir?" Like,
they never want to look at the actual. Dude.
There's a really, really. I know you're on TikTok. I don't know if you are because everybody follow Conspiracy Beer Me on TikTok.
Yeah.
There's a really, really good dude. He is a Latter-day Saint, which I think is Mormon or a sect of Mormonism.
Nice.
And he'll go through and he like debunks like dumb Christian myths like this. And he does it like, and he's like,
does he ever turn the mirror on his own?
Oh, 100%.
Latter-day
Saint
stuff.
Okay.
He's like, actually, I don't know, but
that's some real conspiratorial. I mean, Joseph Smith was a conspiracy.
Yeah. This dude's like, hey guys, I found these plates.
Yeah. Where'd they go?
Cool. Let me see. No. Don't ask me.
It's a great one.
I got to look at them through a sheet.
Yeah.
But it's real.
But yeah, I lost my train of thought. But he does a good job. I don't know what his
debunking
name.
Debunking.
Yeah, well, there's just like some dude popped up and he's like, actually, America is mentioned in the Bible because God says there's an eagle and the eagle is America. And he comes in and he's just like, he's not mean. He's not rude.
Not us.
He's just like, hey, dude, if you actually look at the real translation, it says like a winged bird with talons, which could be any. So, and he's like, let's look at the
Aramaic.
Yeah. He just gets in there and
like,
then,
no.
Yeah. And then people will like
God
stitch him and reply
wrote it
and be like,
and
you were
translated.
Yeah,
it.
You were sent by the devil to betray us. How dare you use this education? What is this? Critical race theory? And he's like, I'm talking about birds. So no.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
this is Gianmarco brought this up last time we were talking about what we considered idiots. It's always a Southern accent we use. Even though we live in the South, it's always a Southern accent.
It's always.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I had a buddy tell me a long time ago, he's a linguist, and he was like, did you know that like old, like old, like UK, like British accents were more akin to like a country accent than what you think
really
they are. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's, so that like made me think, and I was like, okay, so all the historical movies, like Henry V with Kenneth Branagh's like, we merry few, we bend.
Man, we merry few.
He's really like, come on, y'all, come get on. Up on your horse, and let's charge towards these French F-words, and let's
to
kill
it. Or not to be, man, that's the question.
Yeah. Isn't F-word just French?
It wasn't Macbeth, it was Macbeth.
Yeah. Man, this world's a stage, and all the men and women are merely players. They got their exits and their entrances. One man in his life plays many parts.
I tried to turn that into a bit one time, and it did not work.
Did not?
No.
People don't like smart bits about smart stuff,
especially if you make fun of country people.
Yeah, true. No. Well, one of the stumbling blocks for young creationists, aside from some of the things that we've talked about,
mm-hmm. good usage of stumbling block
is very much so. They ran into a couple of scientific kind of things that were like
facts.
How do we? Yeah, right.
What are these things?
And the one of the big ones was. What about this tricky fossil record that so many people have pointed at?
Right.
And they were able to work around the fossil record primarily through two devices. The first thing was like creationists, young Earth creationists would point out places in the fossil record where things did not make sense. Where like it was opposite of where it was everywhere else. And they're like, well, what about here? And guys are like, yeah, that's like a volcano that's blown up, and so everything that was on the top is now buried. And they're like, nah, no.
Try to fool me.
Yeah. When did that blow up? And they're like, 30 million years ago. They're like, nope, the Earth's... Oh, I didn't ever tell you. I forgot to tell you.
Oh.
Science say the Earth is 45 billion.
Oh, right.
4.5 billion years old.
Okay.
Creationists say 6,000.
Okay.
The Earth started in 4,000 B.C.,
not zero BC?
No. Because
It's confusing.
It's like, have you ever seen that comparison where the dude's like, hey, here's a grain of rice. This grain of rice is equivalent to like $1,000. And he's like, here's how much a millionaire has. And it's like,
I have seen this.
And he's like, and here's how much a billionaire has. And it's like a room full of rice.
It's insane.
So it's like attribute grains of rice to 1 year and what creationists think versus scientists think.
It is nuts how young they think it is. It's so funny, dude.
I mean,
we have like written records dated to the 4,000. So they're basically, but they're saying like it all started there. God created it. That's the beginning of.
Okay.
All right. That's when the Earth started. Okay.
It's wild.
Now, so one thing they did with the fossil record is they like, because there are places in the fossil record that are anomalous. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I think that conspiracy theorists, including myself, sometimes do, is they take something anomalous and they use the exception to disprove the rule.
Yeah.
And you're like, look, we get it that the fossil record doesn't always show the same stuff. Let's see if there's a reason that we can probably justify why that... And maybe that's uplift and tilt of the geologic record because of some seismic event. Yeah. But if you just take it out of context and you say, well, how is it that mammals appear below the fossil record than crustaceans in this part of the world? People are like, oh, good point.
It's almost like they were periods. Weird.
But the main reason how they explain the fossil record, which is awesome, is that they believe that there was, as the Bible says, a catastrophic worldwide global flood.
Right.
And so
COVID-00.
Yeah. So 0. So you guys 0. Know you guys know the story of Noah and the Ark. Now, I will say this. I've studied a lot the Great Deluge.
Yeah.
Because the Great Deluge is an event that is recorded in multiple almost every primitive culture has a story of a great deluge.
Yeah, it's like it's like akin to how like most like Scandinavian mythologies have like some form of like a wild hunt, which is like a version of their end time.
End time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Mayans,
and
South Americans had a flood narrative.
All Epic cultures of Gilgamesh. Have some form of like.
Yeah, but oftentimes, like the Epic of Gilgamesh has one that's either the same story.
Yeah.
Or somebody stole it from each other because it's like a flood with like a boat with a guy that brings all the animals on.
Oh, yeah.
So, I wonder if it was just like one dude, like one bard type character. You know?
Just singing songs.
Who was just like had a cart and a couple donkeys or whatever cool animals they had back then. And he was just walking around and just making up cool stories, tripping ass off like pure ayahuasca, you know?
Right. Like, when the internet was just Ask Jeeves. Yeah. You were like, Jeeves controls all information.
I bet it was a song about women, a real dirty song about women. Like, I made her so wet she flooded the earth. And like, can we just change it a bit and make it a.
Because there were people holy? Like who traveled around. I mean, obviously, we don't know. I wonder if it was one, like literally one dude. I mean, similar to like people like to assume that like Homer wasn't one person, you know, that he was like,
a series of people that they
got all those stories.
Shakespeare. Who was that? Who's that guy we talked about? Or maybe it was a different podcast that I listened to. What was that? There's a guy in history that like they think. He lived for hundreds of years, and I think it was just a guy just kept taking his place and selling his story.
The Phantom?
Yeah, the Phantom. No, I can't remember what it was. I think it was episode of Astonishing Legends. I'll have to find it.
But it's like, yeah, I wonder if, like, I don't know. I feel like humans have always rallied or been privy to stories. Like, even if you look at, like, caveman culture.
No, that's true.
Yeah, so I wonder if it's, like, all of this is just one dude or a group of people.
Yeah, the story was just passed along from a common source. Yeah. But in any case... I guess what I'm saying is that I think there is some merit to the historical if not a global deluge.
Yeah. I mean, there's proof of it in the historical record of the earth.
Yes.
I mean, our planet used to look way different than it does now. So yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, there used to be a fucking river that ran through the middle of our country.
Yeah. Right. There is the Mississippi.
No, but I mean
you mean the new river.
Yeah, and then like looking like
well, the Sahara used to be green.
Yeah, there's like all the you know like the
oh right
the
column, yeah,
like
yeah.
The, what made the Grand Canyon used to be a giant mighty river.
Oh
like,
yeah,
and there's
yeah,
like yeah you can look at like floodplains and see that like there used to be a massive lake in like California.
Sure, sure.
Like so,
North
yeah.
Carolina used yeah. to be the site of the highest mountains in the world.
Yeah,
right. The Uari
yeah.
Mountains were like in all of eastern North Carolina, South Carolina,
yeah.
Georgia. That's all the erosion.
Right. And we can use science. It tells us how long it would take to erode there.
4,000 years ago.
Prayer, okay? My 4, pastor, Brent Simpson, told me in 2004 that Jesus hulked out, and that's why the mountains were made.
Well, the way that the flood connects to the fossil record for young earthers is that they believe that when the earth was flooded, the fossils settled in a pattern that makes like your small single cell organisms fell to the ground, then your crustaceans.
All the big stuff rose to the top.
Yeah, and floaters.
Right. So the fossil record was sort of the settling of all these destroyed animals.
Yeah.
And
that's a big old dookie fossil.
That's a big old
that's my no rot.
But, just think of that dookie was encased in amber. You get to look at it forever.
Some ulterior Jurassic Park where the dude just carrying a big turd on a cane instead of a mosquito.
But there's one fossil record.
Yeah.
There's one group of fossils in the fossil record that have proved to be the biggest stumbling block for young Earth creationists. You guys know what it is?
No.
Dinosaurs.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Dinosaurs have proved to be hugely problematic because, as we've talked about many times in this pod, dinosaurs, according to science, they dominated the Earth for like 250 million years,
right?
Yeah. I mean, they were highly intelligent, and we might even believe that there's a race of highly intelligent reptilians that did not die off and went inside the Earth to rule us. Unbeknownst to
them. They're down there hanging out with King Kong and Godzilla.
That's right.
I mean, so the dinosaurs have proven to be sort of the Achilles heel sometimes of this theory. Mm-hmm. Now, they've come up with several ways to explain this, right? One is that dinosaurs and humans coexisted.
Mm-hmm.
They always have. And they're like, look at the Bible. There were all sorts of references to dragons and leviathans and serpent beasts.
Like every like hieroglyph, every like written language has some form of is this a dragon?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They've said that's what these are talking about. When you call a dinosaur, the Bible references. Some people think Noah had dinosaurs
on the ark.
On the ark, which I'm like,
they would have eaten everything.
I did not see that. Yeah. That doesn't seem.
There would have been a lot more cubits in those instructions.
I'm sorry. I've seen Jurassic Park 2. A T-Rex does not do well on a boat.
Okay? No.
Yeah.
No. Not at all.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible.
You just got to have faith. Exciting news. Our friends at Manscaped just launched their 4th generation performance package. This ultimate package includes the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The 4.0. Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming, have done it again to make your grooming game next level. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the new Performance Package 4.0 by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with code CBM20. The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped has arrived, and oh man, was it worth the wait. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. Their 4th generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch can engage a travel lock, and gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Oh, and did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? You thought that was good, but you want to take your grooming game even further to the next level? The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in your delicate holes. Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations, their Crop Preserver ball deodorant for before leaving the house, and Crop Reviver ball toner for a mid-game ball check. Trust me when I say this, fellas, your balls will be thanking you. Manscaped even threw in 2 free gifts to the Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CBM20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code CBM20 at manscaped.com. Your balls have been through enough this past year. Treat them with the best tools for the job from Manscaped.
The other theory is that humans and dinosaurs lived in an atmospheric condition prior to the flood that allowed them both to live to extraordinary ages.
So yeah, because then the people in the Bible lived like 100, 200 years old.
Thousands of years.
There was like
Methuselah.
Seb was like...
Seth, yeah, dude, I love that guy.
Point is that they were like these reptiles, these dinosaurs, they were just... reptiles that had growing
because they just vibing.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, trees were bigger. Yeah,
everything was bigger. They're just like you lived in a world with because there was this layer of moisture surrounding the earth.
More oxygen in the atmosphere.
More oxygen.
Wait, there's a documentary about this, the Flintstones.
Yeah. So there's like people were rolling around with cars, using their feet to drive.
Okay.
They
were using brontosaurus as bulldozers.
Yeah. So the point is that it's like they think that, and actually one, there's these museums across the country.
Oh, creation museums?
Creation museums.
Yo, those are so funny.
And they'll depict the biblical view of young earth creationism.
Yeah, there's one in like Tennessee.
Tennessee, in Texas. And one has a hyperbaric chamber that recreates the living conditions of pre-deluge earth and tries to show that this is so they're like basically trying to raise lizards to be like mammoth lizards.
They're trying to use science to prove their point.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
it's like, man, amazing. You just missed it.
Just missed it.
And I guess before we dive into where this all takes the most bizarre and beautiful conspiratorial twist is that I think that some of what happens with creationism, this young earth creationism, is that do you know the conspiracy theory that Wyoming doesn't exist? It's sort of
That sounds awesome.
It's sort of like Thursdayism.
Be honest, we kind of don't really pay attention to it anyway. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the root of it. They're like, do you know anybody that's been to Wyoming? And it's like, have you ever seen a sign yourself?
There's
like
gun to my head. I don't know what the capital of Wyoming is. I was gonna say Des Moines.
Is it Billings? No, that's Montana.
Cheyenne.
Oh, Cheyenne.
Cheyenne, yeah. So
is that another square state?
It is a square state. It's, but it's really more of a logical exercise than it is an actual conspiracy theory.
Right.
Gotcha.
Like if somebody says
birds are fake.
Birds are fake, or the world was created complete with false memories and fossil records and evidence last Thursday. It's impossible to prove wrong. And I think logic professors use that in their classes all across America to get like students to think about like, well, how do you prove something that's so sort of insane?
Yeah.
It's like you can't. And and so to some degree you're like, well, this doesn't make any sense, because they're like, well, if that's probably something Satan put there.
Right.
Like, I can't argue against Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there has been in the history of young Earth creationism, there has been this search to prove this idea that humans and dinosaurs cohabitated the Earth. Okay. To them, to find something that says, this is it, right? Yeah. Gotcha, right? Explain that.
Like if you find a skeleton with a bike.
Yeah, you guys ever played the Turok game series on Nintendo 64?
Oh, yeah. Like imagine finding like a dinosaur skeleton, but inside of it is like a human skeleton clearly ate, and you're like,
honestly,
explain
that'd be
that.
Super funny.
That'd be dope.
There are a few exceptions where I want Christians to be right. This is one of them. Where I'm like, that'd be cool. I'm rooting for
that.
You
would
guys.
Be great.
Yeah, just a creation museum where it's just like a dinosaur, and there's just
you're
a
telling
human
me my ancestor
just
fought Velociraptors.
Yeah,
that sounds awesome.
Yeah, they'd
dude.
Rewrite
that's,
history.
Yeah.
Well, this dream came true. Back in 2000.
Yes. So what you're saying is someone had a dream.
Well, this idea.
MLK discovered dinosaurs.
It's not the MLK. It's Mike Lee Keaton.
Oh, yeah.
It was sometime in 2001. I think the documentary came out in 2002. And you can find it. You can pay for it on Amazon for $1.89, which is an incredible
that
weird
feels like
price.
They made it that on purpose for you, so you would look at it and be like, huh.
$1.89.
It's like, it's $1.89. Like when you see a speed limit that's like 17, you know?
Right.
That's
going into like a rich white people neighborhood.
Supposed to like get your attention, you know?
Yeah.
It's called Raising the Allosaur.
Okay.
And the subtitle is The Story of How a 9-Year-Old Homeschooler Found a Dinosaur.
Okay, well, let's just stop there.
And in this documentary, it details the story of Haley Meadows. And she's a homeschooler from North Carolina.
Fuck.
Oh, wow. And,
damn.
And on a trip out west with her family, she and her father discover in a creation-driven dinosaur dig in what's called Dinosaur, Colorado, a property called
not Dinosaur, North Carolina.
No, Dinosaur, Colorado. They find
I gotta look up where this
an allosaur.
Okay.
And those
ones with the long, like, spoon things on their heads?
I think so.
I'll have to look those up.
I'll say this about dinosaurs. All the names and all the pictures you see, like, of, like, a not the bones, but I'm saying, like, when they that's a bunch of bullshit.
It's all fake, right?
It's all bullshit.
They should all have feathers.
The allosaurus is, like a wonky T-Rex.
Let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a bitch T-Rex.
You know what? When I see those, you know what I think about is that, have you ever seen like before a building's done or like a neighborhood, there's like the artist rendition.
Yeah.
And then when you see it, you're like, what the fuck? What? That doesn't look anything like what you drew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like the guys that draw the suspect pictures, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the guy that drew the Unabomber, like he had a hood on and like.
Yeah.
Glasses.
And then he's just a normal guy.
And then you
no
saw
glasses.
Him, you're like, that guy had like a ton of bushy hair and no glasses.
That guy's about to die, apparently.
Yeah.
Ted Kaczynski?
Yeah.
So it's basically porn. It's a misrepresentation of actual life.
What are you talking about? Porn's real, right?
It's straight real.
I mean, I believe amateur dinosaurs.
I'm into amateur dinosaurs.
I mean, that stuff's believable. But, okay. I don't know what the allosaur looks like. They found an allosaur.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So they made a documentary about it, and it was a big win for creationists.
Okay.
Now, what is amazing is how they found it, because as the story goes, they had been searching for some dig.
Okay.
The light was getting low in the sky. Ooh. They were running out of time. But luckily for them, these men and their these homeschoolers had a secret tool that most scientists do not have access to.
A shovel.
So just
okay, here's a clip.
Here's the clip. Listen to this. Trigger warning if you grew up in a religious household. Okay.
Finding the skull at this late hour. And so site leader Mark DeRosa suggests they turn to God in prayer.
God, our Father, with this amazing beast being so rare, rarely found in the world of men, and Father, with so many using it against the name of the Lord Jesus to advance the lies of evolution, we do pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give us, in your mercy, an opportunity to bring forth the skull for the glory of God. We pray, Father, that part of the skull is here, that you'd help us to carefully remove it, and Father, to preserve it, and that it would be a great blessing to the people of God and used for your glory. We thank you for guiding Mark and guiding Bruce to this spot. And Lord, we ask a blessing on it, especially as we enter this dangerous time period, or difficult time period for you. We ask this in Christ's name.
Yeah, so why does no one pray normal? You know, like,
right.
Anytime you hear like a real Christian pray, you're like, no one talks like that, dog.
Yeah. No,
they're like, dear, like if you went to your wife and you were like, what do you want for dinner tonight? And she was like, well, honey, oh, my dear honey, I would just really, really be blessed right now if we could just like, oh, I am manifesting French fries right now. And I just really think that the power is there and that these French fries would really prove an abundance to my insides.
Right.
Like no it's one just, talks like that.
Right. It's just they've learned it from their pastor, right? It's showman. It's a
and
showman.
And their pastor
thing.
Learned it from their like dumb little Bible college they went to in like Roebuck, North Carolina.
Can you just be like, hey, can you help me out, Lord?
Dude, I used to pray like that.
Yeah.
But it was like, dear God, please don't let my girlfriend be pregnant. Please don't let my girlfriend be pregnant.
Dear God, if my girlfriend's pregnant, it would cause much calamity.
I had a joke. I had a joke for a while where
I was
like,
smite my
could you please
my wife's womb.
If she's pregnant, could you just please smite her womb and let the blood run like the Red Sea out of her.
Okay,
so here's the thing. You might not have noticed this. This goes to your point, Spencer, is that clip, that audio clip was from the documentary.
Okay. Yeah. Mm.
So there's a camera rolling when he says that. And that's what I think. I think people pray this way because they're like, I'm on camera. I want people to see me being.
It's funny because if you look back, you guys read the gospel?
No.
You just like know the story.
I know the story. I don't read. I can't read.
Big thing is like Jesus came in and was like, I mean, on top of other things, but maybe like a subplot was like, dude, these Pharisees suck. And the Pharisees were like the
religious
elders.
Leaders.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They were like the top brass of church, but they were very like pious and they were like, look at me, how I pray. Look at me.
Oh, right, right.
And like
false idols,
just everything Christians are doing now today where it's like, y'all really read that and just missed the whole fucking point. Right. Right?
Cause
really,
like,
cause I've been to so many churches where the pastor would be like, we're all going to pray right now. Get emotional. Get spiritual. Let the Lord fill you up. And, like, you'd see people looking around at other people like, well, are they raising their hand? Oh, they are.
Yeah, oh, what do we do?
Boy, I got to raise my hand.
It's just like, peer pressure.
It's all, and it's just like, oh, the cameras are rolling and you just happen to.
Yeah, the cameras rolling is the one that gets me.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
If Jesus is real and he does come back, dog, I want to be there. I want to be, like, behind him. So when he like pops into like whatever mega church, he's like, oh, cool guy. Like, thanks so much. Appreciate the songs. Don't need $3,000 guitars on stage, by the way. Also, there's like 75 homeless people across the street. Why you guys got a smoke machine?
I assume if he comes back.
Yeah, fog machine.
What's that superhero show where it's the evil superheroes?
Oh, The Boys.
The Boys. Yeah. What's the main evil guy with the lasers? Laser eyes?
Fuck, I could have told you this. Like,
Homelander.
Homelander. Yeah,
I assume when Jesus shows up to a mega church, he's just going to fucking just score everybody just like Homelander.
Well, it's funny because he did that. He did the whatever the word, I can't blank it right now, but he did like the ancient version of that when he showed up to the
Bible. Shit in the.
Yeah, he walked in the church and he's like, you guys having an unsanctioned bake sale?
Yeah,
okay.
What the fuck? Get the fuck out. And he whipped everybody?
Yeah. Literally beat the shit out of people in the church. Like, go on, get out of here.
Jesus is badass.
I saw a great clip of like a white Southern Baptist kind of preacher.
Yeah.
And he was talking about.
I bet he was so sweaty.
So sweaty. He was talking about haircuts. And he was like, don't let me get started on the haircuts. What you coming into a Baptist church with your liberal haircut? Dude. I want it off your neck. I want it high and tight. And I'm like,
have you looked at pictures of Jesus?
Yeah.
He's got he looks like a hipster,
funny,
man.
That's
he's
great. So fun. Jesus would like have a soap company. Like,
yeah, for sure. He'd have a top knot in a soap company.
He would bathe with Burt's Bees or Dr. Bronner's.
Doctor, have you read their labels?
Oh, he's a crazy guy.
You guys gotta do an episode on that if you haven't.
Yeah. We should do an episode of Dr. Bronner's.
So I think there actually is like a cult thing behind that.
Based on their labels, I would assume.
Yeah. I only have sex with women who bathe in Dr. Bronner's.
Is this the public episode?
Yeah, it's public.
Okay, Jake, I won't make another cult comment. You guys know what I was going to say.
So back to this idea that they found this dinosaur. Mm-hmm. If you heard in that prayer, do you remember when they mentioned Mark?
Yeah.
Mark. That Mark is none other than U.S. Congressman from North Carolina.
Repping NC,
Mark
baby.
Meadows.
Wow. Okay.
And in fact, it is his 9-year-old daughter, Haley Meadows, who is credited with the discovery of the Allosaur.
Wow.
In this hunt, right? Now,
I have a fun, I am one person removed from Mark Meadows.
Really?
You got a buddy?
So my buddy, McBride Campbell, super funny dude. Very,
it's a prep school boys that I've ever heard.
Oh, he is he is from a.
I went to Woodbury Forest. I played lacrosse.
So. Didn't play lacrosse, but from a very well-to-do family, raised by a pastor, very conservative family.
Yeah.
He himself was a. I can read this. He told me, because I hit him up. I was like, hey, I'm about to do a podcast about Mark Meadows. You got any fun things I can add into it? And he literally said, read this verbatim. It's not bad.
Okay, let's hear it, man.
So this is from a guy who was literally Mark Meadows' intern.
Okay.
Good friend of mine. So here it goes. This is all, and quote, begin. I was with Mark Meadows on the morning of his election day to his first term in Congress. I was in the car with him and the only person with significant interaction with him all that day. His family are very kind people. Regardless of how much I disagree with him, we got up very early in the morning around 4 a.m. and drove to a tiny, embattled precinct where I spoke with constituents all day and convinced several to vote for him. I remember on the car drive over just how exhausted he seemed. He had these manifestation tapes that he would play over and over again in the car, but they were like evangelical Pentecostal meditation tapes about sitting in your power and how you could accomplish anything with God's help. I remember he asked my permission if he could play them because he didn't want them to bother me.
That's nice, man.
He was so tired that he would often begin talking and simply stop mid-sentence. I was too young to drive, otherwise I would have offered to be the driver. Watching him listen to those tapes over and over again was the first indication I got that he saw himself as some broader plan of bringing about the kingdom of heaven on earth. His political goals were, in that moment, inextricably linked to his spiritual ones. It would be years before I learned about the National Prayer Breakfast Network or Dominion Theology. This guy's way smarter than I am, by the way.
Yeah, I was like, those are words I've heard. Yeah.
His victory that night was made possible by a network of right-wing Christian homeschoolers who were, who were mobilized en masse as foot soldiers in the army of the Lord. His victory party was full of them, kids I'd grown up with who attended Teen Pact or who were part of the Christian debate league I was
in. This is it.
Yeah.
It was seen as a victory for all of us, a foot in the door to the halls of Babylon, and we really thought that he was the Daniel we were sending into the lion's den.
Wow.
It was about a decade before I realized that we were the actual lions.
Whoa, that's a good boy, man. That guy writes like he's an intern for a politician.
Very smart dude.
Good for him.
I don't know what his TikTok. He's got like 200,000. He's
going to get fired from that internship.
He left. Good dude. Works for like nonprofits in L.A. The smartest guy I know.
General rule of thumb, though.
Yeah.
If you're a teenage boy, don't intern for Republican.
Definitely not.
That's
they're going to be thinking about you.
Yeah.
in biblical ways.
So interestingly is that Mark Meadows was a champion of homeschoolers.
Yeah.
He homeschooled all of his kids. Mm-hmm. He's from North Carolina. North Carolina, by the way, we've had a string of like, we have really bad.
Yeah.
Congressman, we've gerrymandered. If you don't, not from our state. Our state has ridiculous gerrymandering.
No,
we just got struck down again by our Supreme Court,
which is good.
But we got that guy Madison Cawthorn,
who's the guy in the wheelchair that's a total asshole.
Yeah, handsy though.
Adolf Sittler.
Yeah, there you go. Is that what they call him?
There's a really funny comic named Mike Malloy, who is like, look, I'll never make fun of a crippled person, but if you're a Nazi, I'm gonna fucking make fun of the fact that you're crippled.
For sure. Yeah.
So he just calls him so much, dude. Like, it's
well, then
great.
There's he's a. But then remember Richard Burr?
Yeah, he was a real piece of shit.
Burr sucks.
He just gave up and didn't run again.
He retired. Tom Tillis sucks. I mean, we've had Pat McCrory.
But he sold off like all of his like stocks and cruises. Yeah. He sold off before the pandemic.
He told his family to sell off, yeah. And everyone was like, "This is wrong." And the government was like, "Nah,
well, he's leaving office. Nothing we can do.
Made some money. Good for you."
But by the way, we are going to come after your $600 Venmo transaction, citizens. So.
Yeah, right.
Fucking
dicks.
Well, Meadows was a champion of this, and because he was a rising star and wealthy,
yeah.
He got hooked up with a lot of like the sort of upper echelon of homeschoolers.
Yeah, which would have been my friend.
And two groups, one was this group that led these dinosaurs. They were like, we're going to lead fossil expeditions for homeschoolers that teach creationism as it was intended by God. And then they paired up with this already existing group, which I find that's crazy.
Yeah.
But the other group was this guy that ran these bio tours, but for homeschool creationists, because they'd be like, we don't want them to scuba dive and get a wrong sense of the fossil record because there's a lot going down under the sea. And so like, we'll swim in manatees. We'll explain that these are about 2,000 years old and they did not evolve to look like this. Right?
Wow.
So they did like
fallen
these,
souls.
Yeah. You can't believe in young earth creationism and do too much free exploring of like science or scuba diving or anything that involved. Right. Like there's when I was doing research for this pod, there are so many people who were homeschool young earth creationists and they grew up with this belief that like, that if God is true and this is true, it is impossible for me to find evidence to the contrary. So I will go head first.
Oh, and try to find
it. And then they're like, and now I'm a professor of geology at Yale.
renounced by Christianity.
Rarely in the Christian faith, at least in my experience, will you ever be encouraged to study another religion. Like even in my schools, growing up in a Christian high school, we would touch, you know, like we touched on other creation stories, stuff like that, but we would never go fully all the way where we were like, okay, everybody, well, your assignment is to read a chapter in the Quran, because then it would be like, well, hold on, they said Jesus exists, so like, is this in the same cinematic universe? Like,
right? Yeah.
And
interesting,
all of my friends who, I mean, we could do a side conspiracy about a like very crazy group I was a part of in college that was like defrauding children out of their money in college. But anyway, everyone I know that was really, really tied into Christianity in high school and early in life, literally all they did was got away from their parents and like just did like the minimal amount of research. And they're like, oh, okay, so this is all like not right.
Right. Yeah.
I read one Mad magazine.
Yeah. And like, hold on, there are other authors than C.S. Lewis? What?
What? Yeah. Well, the Meadows, you know, and these guys, they kept their kids in that bubble, right? Which is what you're saying, is that like as long as you keep kids in this bubble. So they created these educational platforms. One of those platforms was this Western trip where you did some typical like whitewater rafting, and I'm sure the guides loved getting
some whitewater washing.
Yeah. Right. And also, by the way, I find this interesting is that Meadows and both the guys that ran these tours, they were also part of what was another movement in this small homeschool community, not surprising, called the Patriarchy Movement. And Meadows was a adamant
tight.
Yeah, yeah.
Good name, dude.
Yeah. And no surprise.
I'm not going to lie. I thought you were about to be like, they're part of this other movement, which was franchising Chick-fil-A's.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you've been, every Chick-fil-A has like 17 homeschool kids that work there.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, they teach this teaching that like the man is designed, God designed humans to be the leader, the head of the household, and a woman is
subservient. One of my best friend's moms, who is like, I won't say who it is, but if he listens to this, he'll know I'm talking about his mom. She's just the worst. She's the villain from Footloose. Like she is the most hateful Christian woman, and
she just stands up for herself.
No, she truly
bought into this.
She bought into it. She believes that women should not vote. She is a woman in her 60s. Wow. She has worked with
the villain in Footloose.
Yeah. She I mean, it's insane how bought into the fact that she is like, I am submissive to my husband. She's like, women can't vote. She's like, our brains go a little crazy every, you know, once a month. And it's like, we shouldn't be allowed with that responsibility.
But she's had menopause. That doesn't happen anymore. She should be able to vote.
And I know so many women who like growing up were told like, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's probably part of this patriarchy movement. But like, even like conservative churches that I went to were still like very hesitant to put women in a place of power. And like, they're like, well, think about your witness. Oh, you're showing like too much chest on stage. Right. Like, yeah, oh, yeah. Well, the men won't take you seriously. Where it's like, it's just fucking dumb. I hate it.
I mean, it's hard for me to even imagine it, but my initial reaction to it is this, is the idea of having a subservient wife who makes me
boring.
Oh, it sounds exhausting.
I dated a girl like that for 3 years.
Oh my God. It's like, where do you want to go to dinner? No, honey, it's your decision. You're like,
you guys, I'm a subservient husband. I can never make a decision.
Shane's a Christian.
We
call that a cuck.
I'm a cuck. Guys, it's coming out of the pod today.
So here's where the story of Mark Meadows and his daughter Haley gets incredible.
I'm going to look her up on Facebook. I probably got mutual friends with her.
And so here's what happened is after this documentary came out, right, another creationist scientist was like, time out. This is all made up.
Oh.
So what happened was is this guy had found the Allosaurus years earlier. And Meadows and this other guy who made the documentary, they were like, let's take this skeleton and let's bury it.
They reburied it.
Oh, my God. And then they reburied it, and then they were like, and then we'll let your daughter find it, and we'll film it, and we'll make a documentary.
Oh, my God.
And the
God damn it. Just like put that energy into something else, dude.
Why are you doing this?
And the only reason this all came out, and understand too, the guy that ended up in a mediation with this like Christian pastor between the two sides, because you know
you really fucked up when other Christians are coming at you and being like, hey dude, too much, take it down a peg.
Cool.
But this documentary, which they basically staged to prove their point. Now let me be clear, the documentary goes on and basically says that not only did they find the Allosaurus, right? They found it buried with fossils that show deciduous, like,
oh my God.
Like,
they found
like,
it buried to a Bed Bath & Beyond receipt, dude.
Yeah, what weird.
So they found it with like wood and evidence of like,
gotcha.
And they're just like, this is, and like, if you go watch the documentary, the cat, like, they're like, this is the devastating blow.
Oh my God.
That science does not want to talk. And scientists are like, no, those dinosaurs lived in the forest.
Right. Yeah.
Those are just trees that also died.
Yeah.
Like that's not a big problem for.
Right?
So essentially what they did
is
they faked this whole thing.
Okay.
And then there was this controversy. And understand the controversy from the guy that originally found it was he was like, look, I just want the bones because I'm building.
Their bones are their money.
No, it is. They were like, I want the bones because I'm building this creation museum. And I want, that's like my big find. And I was
I'm building a Halloween themed xylophone. And I got to hit that clink note in the spine of this Allosaurus.
So the people that owned this plot of land in Dinosaur, Colorado,
pops up on Google Maps.
They were worried because this lawsuit was going on and the market value, the high-end market value of these dinosaur bones was about $450,000. And this guy was sort of like...
Sorry, I looked it up on Google. There's a... I'm sure the Christians love this. Right next to the dinosaur, there's the dino dispensary.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah, dude.
Get prehistorically baked with our Jurassic weed. Joints.
Yeah, there was weed next to these bones.
Sorry.
So they were like, this is going to, worth $450,000, and that could be the upward settlement. So
he took it to Antiques Roadshow.
Mark Meadows bought the land. And he bought it sort of under the table. Oh. Was like, I'm going to buy this land, so I own it, and then it's protected because they wanted to preserve this find so they could continue to perpetuate this story that they found.
Oh my God.
Dinosaurs. Now they released press releases. They made this documentary and all of it had this catchy title, right? Homeschooler, 9-year-old homeschooler finds mm-hmm. Allosaurus bones.
But was their selling point the fact that it was like, yeah, we found it through prayer, or was it just the fact that they just found it at all? Because like,
they found it in conditions, according to this press release, that
proves
supported their view gotcha. That dinosaurs and humans coexisted.
Okay,
right, and so that if you read the press release, it's clear. It's like it showed up in a way that indicates that the fossil record.
It was holding a Bible.
Yeah,
with its two talons.
So and the fact that it was found by a homeschooler. Yeah. Was a big win for the homeschool community. Mark sure. Meadows was a big.
They need anything guy. To make them look cool. So yeah that's fair.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a tough.
It's dude, a tough, like all my best friends were homeschooled, and thankfully they turned out normal. But it's tough for homeschool
sure about
kids.
That?
Are you sure?
I mean,
all your friends are homeschoolers. You probably don't have a good reference point for what.
Normal. No, I mean like two.
I mean, the only homeschooler I know that I thought was normal locked me in a bathroom until I freaked out and smashed the door out.
Dude, that's typical homeschool
God
behavior.
Goddamn homeschooler.
I know, dude.
Well, so, okay, just to make the plot even a little thicker, though.
Yeah.
Mark Meadows sold that land to some young earth creationist group. They're called. They'd have a terrible name, like Truth in Christ,
right?
Genealogy, geology, right. Something really bad.
Riverways,
and he sold it for like a couple $100,000, fair market value.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he didn't disclose it. This whole story broke
because he fucked up on his taxes.
He did not disclose it on his congressional report. He has to disclose all sale of property over a certain amount, and he didn't disclose it. And so the New Yorker, right, found out about it, and they were like, why wouldn't Mark Meadows disclose this? So they went digging,
dang.
Literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were like, well, that's weird. And then they found out that the reason is because Mark Meadows basically orchestrated a plant of dinosaur bones that his 9-year-old daughter could find to prove their conspiratorial belief that the Earth is 6,000 years old, and the fossil record proves that.
Amazing.
That's the story.
Wow. That was a good one. Holy cow.
Yeah.
I would love to.
And then he became Trump's chief of staff. So solid guy.
Yeah, yeah. Good dude.
Super level headed.
Yeah.
Really glad that he's running the country at some point.
One point, he had the president's ear.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall when he had to go. Like, do you know how long it was from like the documentary happening or like that's them finding the fossil to when he had to like got or when he got outed by the New Yorker? Like, do you know, like,
oh, the New Yorker article's recent.
Oh, so
it's
been
2019 or something.
So they got away with it for like a solid decade.
Yes.
Oh, man.
A long time.
I was hoping it was closer to so he would have to go into his like 10-year-old daughter's room and be like, listen, Haley.
No, sorry.
The liberal cucks are coming for our family.
Yeah. No, it was like
dug up fossils in his closet. Yeah. I bet a homeschooler wrote that New Yorker article. Yeah. They dug it up.
A disgruntled homeschooler.
An ex-boyfriend of Haley Meadows.
That's right.
Yeah, it was bad, man. It was a real, it was a real nasty.
Huh?
Haley just got married, and I didn't look into it, but that would also be a funny place to reveal to her. It's like, honey, I don't want you to go into your marriage with any skeletons in your closet, especially those dinosaur skeletons that I planted so that you had your big moment when you're not. Good luck, honey.
This is no different than when you go to a museum and they sell those eggs. That you just make, it's like a little egg that you buy for your kid and they break it open and it's a plastic fossil inside.
This motherfucker was born in France.
Sorry.
Mark Meadows?
Yeah, he's born in Verdun.
He's not even American?
Listen here, we got these French cooks coming in.
What the fuck?
Lying
F-words.
About.
We got these F-words in our White House.
That's funny, man.
Frenches.
Yeah. Okay, I like finding out like, you know, people who are senators of the state, like, did you even, I know you have to like maintain a residence, but like, did you even ever live here? Cause he got his degree.
Oh, he also lied a lot about his education from South Florida.
No.
Education says South Florida and FSU. Yeah, no,
he claimed that's a real good thing. You can just kind of say you have a degree.
I was an army brat.
Right.
And then you kind of like,
you know, what's crazy. I bet when you were a kid, Mark Meadows saw you steal stuff out of a vending machine. And he's like, well, if he can do that, I can do anything.
This just sounds...
Are you blaming me?
That's the butterfly effect that I talked about.
I ruined Florida.
You ruined Florida.
Fuck Florida. I'm from Florida, but I love my Florida home.
If you look at his early... This is Wikipedia, so I don't know. But if you look at his early career, the first paragraph, or sentence, really, in 1987, Meadows started Aunt D's, a small restaurant in Highlands, North Carolina. He later sold it and used the proceeds to start a real estate development company in Tampa, Florida.
He did, yeah.
Which Aunt just D's. Going from owning like a country kitchen to like a real estate company just seems like a big jump. You know,
yeah. He can eat Aunt D's nuts.
That's yeah. right.
All I care is fucking faking the fossil yeah, record, you bastard. That guy.
That's like, I was looking through, like he, I mean, I guess at some point he lived in North Carolina, but
so yeah, well, this French bitch. Final thought for me is the Meadows stuff, the fake fossils, all of it crazy. You know, the thing that I'm struck by is that, and maybe it's well, not maybe, there has been a battle between religion and science in this country for probably ever.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the people that first came to the Europeans who first sailed here were sort of contradicting the teachings of the church then, right?
And so it has gotten more tribalistic though. If you actually read, I haven't finished it yet, but it's been pretty good. I need to look up the author, but it's called Jesus and John Wayne. Have you guys heard of that book?
Yeah.
It is
John Wayne. Wasn't he a piece of shit too?
Probably, but
well,
it's
about... I'll tell you right now, I got a fossil right now.
Listen here, Jesus.
That's pretty good.
It's by Kristen Cobes Dumez, but the whole book is about, well, the title, it's Jesus and John Wayne, How White Evangelicals Corrupted a Faith and Fractured a Nation. But it's about, I mean, it goes back into like the 60s.
Hundreds of years.
It's like, when did Christians start making up this, like... Jesus had the six-pack abs and a pistol on his hip.
Yeah.
Like, when did this
CrossFit
iteration...
Jesus.
Yes, like, when did this iteration of, like, hardcore American patriot Jesus begin? And that's... part of that is being very rooted in anti-science, like, you know...
Yeah, that's what I think where my final thoughts are.
Yeah.
Is that, like, that catastrophic, you know, sort of head-banging, I think plays into this sort of... divisive nature that you call it tribalistic, whatever it is. We've talked before about, are we on the verge of a civil war in this country? And I think that, like, we don't have the geographical division in this country like we did during the first civil war North and South. We have this ideological civil war.
Right.
Yeah, very
and,
much so.
And it's going to, much like in the original civil war, because North Carolina and Virginia were two of the states that had the most sort of people fighting on both sides. Mm-hmm. Ideologically, we're going to end up there again because we just have this ideological war.
Yeah, it's not going to get any better.
It's not going
to
get any better.
I hate to say
it's going
to
get worse before it gets better. Yeah, and it's going to just... And so, like, so that this idea of science and religion being antithetical ideas that cannot coexist is extremely problematic. And I think in a lot of ways, in a lot of the conspiracies we talk about, it's rooted in this same problem, right?
It is, yeah.
Right. Is easy as it is to debunk from a rational standpoint the idea that the earth is 6,000 years old, we cannot cure the fact that there are lots of people that believe that.
Yeah.
But even worse, there are millions of people who will say you have the right to believe that.
Yeah.
You have the right to be categorically wrong.
I mean, even I think you have the right to believe that. I don't think you're right.
I don't think you have the right to hold office.
You can be a dumbass all you want. Go for it.
You have the right to be
care.
The dumbest piece of shit in the world. I don't give a shit. I'm trying to, like, actually not get mad at those people. That's like one of my goals for this year is like, okay, you are potentially a product of misinformation or of where you live or what your parents do, and like, I'm trying to not, like, just immediately be like, fuck you.
It is hard.
You know? Trying to, like, talk to those people and be like, why do you think this way?
Right.
But I agree with what you said. Can I
chime in? Yeah, go for it. Yeah,
what's your final thought?
I think that a lot, I agree with what you said, but I think a lot of it is also based, maybe rooted in the human desire to be lazy and also just believe what we're told. So my mom and I, she's a lovely woman. We butt heads a lot, but we have very constructive conversations about our different ideologies. And she always kind of roots it back to, she's like, well, your generation just questions everything. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like,
should.
Yeah. And that's right. And it kind of, it's funny because my dad was the same way. I feel like my extended family is kind of the same way, where it's like they just, the level of respect was so instilled in them that whatever their parents said, whatever their authority right. figure, cops, teachers, what mm-hmm. politicians, they were like, well, it's got to be right. They wouldn't lie right. to us. So it's like, mm-hmm. and I don't know what changed. I mean, we're all three different generations, correct? Yeah.
Yeah, but all of us had a moment like probably for you, it's like yeah. when you found out the Blues Clues guy was like blowing coke right before every episode.
That was
episode,
tight. Yeah.
You were like, tight. Oh, but maybe the world's not what I, yeah, yeah. maybe Blues Clues lead to somewhere else.
I've just like, always been like a curious kid, but I feel like a lot of like believing in, you know, being like anti-science, believing the earth is 6,000 years old, is people just being like, you know, if you go to a church, let's imagine you're from a town of 2,000 people. You go to that. You go to one of the five churches in town where 100 of those people, or maybe 200 of those people, are, and the guy who is up on stage, who happens to also maybe be a police officer or some other important figure in your community, is telling you the earth is 6,000 years old. I know this because I went to college.
Right.
You're gonna be like, well, yeah, I'm gonna trust Trevor. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's become problematic because.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying it's right.
No. I'm saying in the 60s that made sense.
Yeah.
But. Once there was an internet around,
it's like yeah, you could
yeah,
go.
Yeah.
But the
I
unfortunate
spent the '90s making shit up in bars. Like,
same.
I don't do that anymore.
Right. But it's like, it's but now insane. You can
I was
go.
14.
You can go and fake whatever article you want to. It's
oh, that's
so,
true.
It's so yeah. easy to find.
We've almost come full circle.
You can find whatever confirmation bias you want to
yes.
through Google, through FreedomEagle.AK47net. Like,
yes.
like
yeah.
every
yeah, yeah.
website exists somewhere. So it's like.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are like, what are we going to do about misinformation? It's like nothing. Like shut yeah. down the internet. We're not going to do that.
No,
like
no. teach people to think critically.
Yeah. And it's right. like, but that's it. That boils down to like, people probably don't want that.
Yeah. People don't, people would rather no. just, I mean, how many people just, I'd rather, I want to, especially people with kids and not to just single them out. But I think you have so much going on in your life. It's much easier to be like, these are my beliefs. These are what I'm living by.
Yes.
I have to. Put it all my time into my family. I don't have time to actually think about life outside of that.
And a lot of people too are like,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's
I know.
Me not having kids, and you have kids, so you yeah. may disagree with that.
And I know people who are like, I can't, like, they kind of have the mindset, and I know people who are like this, who are like, I have so much other shit to worry about that I'm just, this, I can't have this part of my brain be broken right now, because
right.
I'm barely holding it together.
Yeah.
So it's,
yeah.
you know, so it's like a lot
for
of people
sure.
are just like, I'm going to take, you know, you got the red pill, the blue pill. I'm going to take the whatever one that keeps you in blissful ignorance, you know, like, because it's easier. I mean, it's what
that's funny where like you don't hear
yeah.
what Morpheus says.
Yeah, it's the Matrix yeah. where he's like, you take the blue pill and you find out that the earth is actually super fucking old and yeah. dinosaurs existed and blah, blah, blah. Or you take the red pill.
What
and,
are my choices again, Morpheus? And, yeah. and he's like, I don't
yeah.
repeat what I'm saying.
Yeah, you take
good.
The red pill and you go back to thinking that Dunkin' Donuts coffee is really good.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not bad, but you know what
I mean? Yeah, no. But yeah, my final thought is that one of our biggest enemies as a species is this ideology of whatever the fuck Mark Meadows is selling, what these people believe in, it's fake. Mm-hmm. If you want to look for a Satan in life, their fake religion is a Satan. Step back and just look at it. I went to church as a kid. I went to church camps as a kid. The minute I felt anything that was weird, I said, I'm out.
Yeah.
And you should just be able to do that. It just blows my mind that people just follow. And again, I think this is both sides. It's not only the right. The left is just as bad.
Oh,
I actually,
dude, yeah.
One of our friends tweeted something the other day. She retweeted something about people in blackface at a Trump rally. Followed the thread, and then it's a YouTube out. Video. It was like, oh, no, they were actually black people. It was just
yeah.
altered.
Yeah.
And I messaged her. I was like, this is fake. She never wrote back. I'm like, you're just as bad as these fuckers.
Yeah, there's that dogmatism.
Yeah, just
that's like I tweeted. Like
do your research.
When the election was happening, however years or whatever that happened, you know, when everyone was like freaking out about like, oh, my God, they're taking up post office boxes. And yeah. I like tweeted that out and like included a photo. And a dude DM me. He's like, hey, man, I work for the post office in Raleigh, and like sent me his badge. He was like, we're literally just picking them up to clean them. He's like,
right.
the rest of this may be true. He's like, but this one photo. And I was like, shit. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And I deleted it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we've all been guilty of it. We've all fucked up. But like, come on, fucking pay attention.
People want to. In those situations, they want to feel like they've got a one-up on people.
Yes.
Or they've got, like, their thing in this age of social media. You want to, what's going to get you your clout? What's going to make you feel smarter
right.
or better or stronger than these other people? And it's, like, it's frustrating because I'm focusing more on where it's, like, dude, it's us. It's like we should all be fucking.
We're a shit species.
Yeah,
it's just fucking.
Well, let me tell you. Here's where you should get your information from.
Conspiracy
Beer Me, man. Joe Rogan's canceled. We're the new Joe Rogans.
That's right.
You guys are still on Spotify for now.
Yeah, that's we're here. So listen to us. Join the patron, and also, if you get a chance, check out our friend Spencer Bland. Spencer, tell us where they can find you.
Yeah.
See you do comedy, all that.
Yeah. If I didn't annoy you guys enough, I run a podcast with my best friend, life partner, super funny guy named Jordan Huggins. That podcast is called Bop or Flop Pod. It's a music podcast where we go back. We have a guest on. We just had Justin on recently. And our guest will choose a date. We'll go back and look at the Billboard Top 10 songs in America from that date. And we'll talk about if they're good or not. Are they bad? Do they suck? Are they hilarious? Are they funny? There was a time, and I think we had Mark Brady on. We did like 1987, and the number two song in the world was a song called Pac-Man Fever, and it was the worst fucking song. And you think, you're like, oh, Billboard Top 10, these songs got to be good.
I love that song.
Yeah, and then you listen to them, and you're like, oh, no, people did different drugs in different decades.
They did.
Yeah.
Like, Justin, what you covered?
November 18th, 1973.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And you're like, you know, we have this crazy thing where, like, 70s music has got to all be good, right? Like, no. Flower Power, and we went back, and we're like, nah, some of those songs suck dick.
Well, have me on for 76.
Hell yeah, we'll do it. And then we drop new episodes every Tuesday. It's really fun. We have a Patreon. Don't worry about it. But you can follow us on social media at Bop or Flop Pod across all channels. I'm a comedian here in Raleigh. If you ever want to come see me, we're pretty much on all the same shows, but you can check out my dates at godsfavoritecomedian.com.
Perfect for this episode. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, this has been Conspiracy Beer Me. I am Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith, and this is
Spencer Bland.